Ruth took a risky initiative of faith. She went to Boaz and asked. And because she asked, she received. And that is why I chose the title Faith for this message.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today. And Colin, we've seen a lot of ups and downs in the story of Ruth and Naomi, and Boaz has entered the picture at this point here. And today, we're going to see faith really on display.
Yes, and you know, in the New Testament, we have some very clear statements about the nature of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, for example, tells us what faith is. The New Testament gives us faith in words. The Old Testament gives us faith in pictures. And today we're going to look at a marvelous picture of faith. And for anyone who's a visual learner, this story is going to convey what it looks like to actually live by faith, what it looks like to take an initiative of faith, what it looks like to put your trust in God. It's a beautiful story, and it conveys a wonderful truth.
Well, we're going to look at this story in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, as we continue our message. Here is Pastor Colin.
I want us to see that Naomi's counsel is a beautiful expression of faith and hope and love. Boaz had clearly shown interest in Ruth, but he had done nothing to move the relationship forward. And there may be a hint as to why this was in verse 10, where Boaz says, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter." That's how he addresses Ruth. So the fact that Boaz addresses Ruth as daughter indicates that there was a very substantial difference in age. Boaz was much older than Ruth. And you see, that is why he says in verse 10, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." The natural thing for Ruth to have done, of course, would have been to go after someone of her own age. And if Boaz had any romantic thoughts in regards to Ruth, he would have been very quick to put these out of his mind. I mean, why would a young woman like Ruth have any interest in an aging man like me? So you see, when Ruth came home from the fields day after day during the barley harvest, Naomi would ask her, "Did you see Boaz today?" "Oh yes, I had lunch with him and the others." "Did he say anything to you today?" "No, nothing unusual." And now it's the end of the barley harvest. And Naomi is thinking, he's never going to have the courage to ask her. Well, we all know how this story should end. But time has passed. Nothing has happened until Naomi came to the rescue. The barley harvest is over, and Naomi reckons it's now or never. And so she encourages Ruth to take a risky initiative of faith. What she's saying to her is basically this: put away your mourning clothes and dress yourself as if for a wedding, because that's what's ahead of you. That's Naomi's counsel. Now let's look at Ruth's initiative, verse 6. "So she went to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her." The threshing floor. Now, the threshing floor was very simply an elevated area of land, like a kind of platform. They'd look for a raised area of land, and then there would be a ring of stones that would be placed around that quite substantial area. And then the harvested sheaves would be brought to this platform, this threshing floor, this raised area of land, and they would be spread out in that area, probably up to about a foot deep. And then a wooden sled with iron fragments on the bottom would be driven over the sheaves until the grain was separated from the chaff and from the stalks. And then in the evening, when the wind would blow up from the sea, the farmer would take a pitchfork and he would throw what was lying on the floor repeatedly up in the air, and the wind would simply blow away the chaff and then leave the barley lying separated out, winnowed on the floor. And when the winnowing was done, the farmer or someone who was on his team would spend the night beside the grain, I mean, to protect it. This was of great value. This was a year's investment of work, and you didn't want to leave that unprotected. Now, Naomi knew that Boaz would be guarding the grain that particular night, and sure enough, when Ruth went to the threshing floor, she found Boaz sleeping at the end of the heap of grain. Verse 7, she pulled the blanket off Boaz's feet and she lay down. And perhaps it was the cold on Boaz's feet that wakened him up, I don't know. But at midnight, verse 9, the man was startled and he turned over and behold, a woman lay at his feet. "Who are you?" Boaz asked. Verse 9, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Now, if you want what she said in plain English, Ruth said to Boaz, "Marry me. Marry me." This is a proposal of marriage. And there is something very beautiful in the way that Ruth framed this proposal. You may remember in chapter 2 and verse 12 that the first time Boaz met Ruth, he said to her, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." That was the first thing that Boaz ever said to Ruth. She'd never forgotten it. And when she came to make her proposal, she used precisely the same language. "Spread your wings," she says to him, "over your servant, for you are a redeemer." You see what Ruth is saying, Boaz? The first time we ever met, you prayed that I would find rest under the wings of Almighty God. And what I'm asking you tonight is that you become the answer to what you prayed for me. Take me under your wings. I want you to be the means by which I experience the blessing of being under the wings of God. So there's Naomi's counsel. There's Ruth's initiative. And then there's Boaz's resolve. And Boaz had no hesitation whatsoever in accepting Ruth's proposal. In fact, he absolutely jumped at the opportunity. And we saw earlier what we can learn from Naomi's example of love. There's actually more here for us to learn from Boaz's example of love in action. I want to draw your attention to three things in regards to what we learn about love from Boaz. And the first thing, very obviously, is that love waits. Love waits. She lay at his feet until morning. What an extraordinary test this was of Boaz's character, godliness, and integrity. Can you imagine this? He woke up in the middle of the night and found the woman to whom he had been drawn lying at his feet. Now, if this was the movies, we all know that they would have become one that night under the light of the stars. But that didn't happen. It's extraordinary, really, isn't it? It didn't happen. Ruth, verse 14, lay at his feet until morning. She didn't move. Just at his feet. Never moved from there. Boaz didn't move either. Now, why did Boaz not say to Ruth, I love you, and you love me, and this is the most perfect night, and we are alone under the stars together. Let's become man and wife in the eyes of God right now. Why did he not say that? Because God has given sexual union as a gift to be enjoyed exclusively within marriage. And marriage is more than a private relationship of love between two people. Marriage is a relationship of love wrapped in the strength of law. That's what it is. That's how God has given it to us. We'll see more about this next week. Marriage is a relationship of love wrapped in the strength of the law. And Ruth and Boaz very wonderfully here model a love that waits. They want their love to be blessed by God. And because they want their love to be blessed by God, they are committed to obeying God's law. That's the first thing we learn about love from Boaz here, that love waits. Then secondly, love commits. Notice what he says, verse 11, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you ask. What a joy that must have been to Ruth to hear these words. Now, we're going to see next time that there was a problem to overcome before Ruth and Boaz could be married. But what I want us to notice today is that Boaz is ready to commit. I will do for you all that you ask. Now, Boaz had clearly, early in chapter 2, indicated in several ways his interest in Ruth. He had awakened her interest in him, and now he has no hesitation in committing himself to her. You see, that's one of the things that love does. Love commits. Self-interest wants to keep all our options open. But love commits, knowing that joy and blessing will follow. And then very obviously from this story here, we see from the example of Boaz that love gives. Verse 15, and he said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her, and she went back into the city. Now, 6 measures of barley, this is even more than an ephah. This would have been about 80 pounds in weight. I mean, how she managed to get that back home, I can scarcely imagine. But she went back to Naomi absolutely loaded with grain. And the size of the gift, of course, was an indication to Naomi, not only of Boaz's commitment to Ruth, but of the blessing that he was going to bring into the lives of both of these women in the days and the years that lay ahead. Sheer generosity. What does it mean to grow in love? Love waits. Love commits. Love gives.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Faith. It's part of a larger series called Ordinary People, Extraordinary God, where we're taking a look at the book of Ruth. Now, we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. Well, each day here at Open the Bible, our team works to share the gospel with as many people as possible. And that's why we're super excited right now to have the opportunity to reach over 70% of the world's population in well over 20 languages, telling the powerful story of the thief on the cross. The movie Heaven, How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, is a short film featuring Stephen Baldwin as the thief who died next to Jesus. He's now in heaven, and it captures his powerful reflection on the day that he began to fear God and accepted Jesus as his Savior. And this month, we're airing that film for free online and in television all around the world. You can find out more about this film, how you can see it, and share it with other people who you know speak all these different languages when you visit our website at openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
What does it mean to grow in love? Love waits. Love commits. Love gives. Now, we've seen what we can learn about love from the examples of Naomi and the example of Boaz. I want in these last minutes this morning for us to see what we can learn about faith from the example of Ruth. Next week, God willing, we're going to see in more detail that what Boaz did for Ruth gives us a marvelous picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. What Boaz does for Ruth points us to what Jesus does for us. But you see, if you flip that around and turn it on its head, it's also true that what Ruth did in taking an initiative of faith in going to Boaz is a marvelous picture of how we then should come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth took a risky initiative of faith. She went to Boaz and asked. And because she asked, she received. And that is why I chose the title Faith for this message. What then would an initiative of faith look like for you or for me? These observations in closing. Faith seeks Christ and is blessed. Faith always involves a choice. It involves moving in a particular direction. It involves saying no to some things in order to say yes to others. Notice verse 10 of chapter 3. Boaz said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You've made this last kindness greater than the first in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." Ruth could clearly have chosen a different life with a younger man. There is always a different life that you could choose. Always. But we're going to see next week that in proposing this marriage to Boaz, Ruth was motivated by obeying the law of God. There are many choices that you could make. There are many different lives that you could live. But if you will seek after Christ, you will be blessed, period. And that's what faith does. Of all the choices that are there, faith says, "I'm going after Jesus Christ because I'm convinced that blessing will be found in him." That's faith. Second, faith asks Christ and receives. Notice chapter 3 and verse 11. "Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you ask." That's the key point here. Boaz was clearly ready to give. No question about that. It was immediate, his response. But Ruth did not receive until she asked. And if she had not asked, she would not have received. James says in the New Testament, "You do not have because you do not ask." And Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Jesus Christ has more to give any of us than any of us have yet received. Yet how easy it is for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to go for long stretches without asking him for anything particular at all. What do you need from the Lord Jesus Christ today? What will you ask? Do you need strength? Do you need peace? Do you need patience? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need the ability to forgive someone else? Draw near to Christ in an initiative of faith. That's what the story is about today. Ask, and you will receive. And then faith submits to Christ and obeys. You notice what Naomi says, go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. There's great emphasis, and this really is important, that Ruth lay only at the feet of Boaz, and as we saw, the scripture emphasizes she never moved there, and that is important not only because it's an indication of the purity of what took place that night, but it's also an indication of the submission that is at the very heart of asking. You remember that it says of Mary in the New Testament, when Martha was busy in the kitchen, that Mary sat where? At the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The significance of this is very obvious. To sit at someone's feet is to submit yourself to their teaching or their direction. And that's the point here, isn't it? Go and uncover his feet. Lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do. Now, you see, we're learning something very, very important about faith. Not only does faith seek Christ, and not only does faith ask of Christ, but faith submits itself to Christ. He will tell you what to do. So as you draw near to him and say, I'm choosing to seek the blessing that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming to ask according to my need. Then in that same faith, you must submit yourself to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and do what he says. Do what he says. And then lastly, faith trusts Christ and waits. This beautiful last verse that we read today, where Naomi says to Ruth, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. If you will seek Christ, if you will ask of Christ, if you will submit yourself to Christ and do what he says, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ to settle whatever you place into his hands.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we're wrapping up a message entitled Faith. It's part of a series, Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. Really a look at the book of Ruth. And if you've missed any part of today's broadcast or any previous broadcast in the series, you can go back and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app, which you'll find at your app store, or you can order a copy of the entire series online when you come to openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching on this station because of your generosity, and we want to say thank you for your gift of any amount this month by offering you two copies of Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Easter, A Journalist Investigates Evidence for the Resurrection. Now, one copy is for you, the other to give away. And Colin, what do you think makes this book so useful?
Oh, well, its author, Lee Strobel, was a journalist for the Chicago Tribune when he began exploring the Christian faith. And in The Case for Easter, he actually retraces his steps, showing the biblical evidence that led him to the conclusion that Jesus really rose from the dead. It's a fascinating book because he interviews experts who help us to sort through the Bible's evidence for the resurrection. So, for example, he interviews a medical doctor to help us examine the evidence that Jesus really died, and a psychologist to help us see that Jesus' appearances could not have been simply hallucinations. So The Case for Easter really helps Christians know why we believe in the resurrection, and it can provide a wonderful pathway to faith for someone who's beginning to explore the truths of Christianity.
Well, we want to send you two copies of Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Easter, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. And again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.